We thank all the delegates for being here with a special warm welcome to those attending the conference for the first time. But we want to welcome a member who was at the conference, the very first conference for the first time, and that she had a dream many years ago that the 12 steps that help alcoholics could also help us compulsive overeaters. Since she was the first member, she has a very unique perspective of the evolution of the OA program. This is a lady who's been very special to me since I came into program, and I have a lot of admiration and respect, and I'd like to introduce our founder, Roseanne.
Thank you. Oh, that's lovely to see, considering that I was doing laundry this morning. That's very nice. Good afternoon, my friends. My name is Roseanne, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Over the years, many of you have heard me tell the story of OA, what we were like, what happened, and what we are like now. Over and over in conventions and in conferences, I've described how I rewrote the 12 steps, yes, I did, and how they were finally restored and adopted at our first national conference in August 1962. That's nearly 32 years ago. But no one here has ever heard a description of our original 12 traditions and how they evolved into our present form. When I began researching them, I was really surprised to find that I've never talked about their development at all. So right now, for the very first time anywhere, I'm going to tell you the story of our traditions, how they came to be the way they are today. And please remember that when I give you my feelings about what I did, these are my opinions, and they don't reflect you, the trustees, or OA as a whole. During OA's first year, after I rewrote the 12 steps and took out God as much as I could, we simply paid no attention to the 12 traditions. They were confusing to me and meant absolutely nothing. Besides, until taking my husband's friend to a meeting of the brand new Gamblers Anonymous, I had never had contact with the 12-step group at all. All during that first year, our only literature was a printed sheet with the rewritten 12 steps and the Serenity Prayer. Remember, we had only one OA group with 6 or 7 members. Of course we were autonomous. There were no other groups with whom to unify. After 10 months, we were invited to be interviewed by Paul Coates on his national television show. That was in late 1960. At that point, Jim Willis, who has since passed away, the founder of Gamblers Anonymous, began nagging me to reinstate step 3, which I had removed and replaced with a step about seeing a doctor. By that time, at Jim's insistence, I had been to many AA meetings trying to learn the program. I'd become familiar with the traditions, but I felt they had to be rewritten for us as well. I was a professional writer, and I didn't like Bill Wilson's manner of writing, and I just decided to rewrite everything. By the end of our first year, I gave in to Jim's urging. After appearing on the Paul Coates show, I wrote a 4-page pamphlet about Overeaters Anonymous. There was one page describing OA, how it can help you, another page telling how OA came into being, a third page listed the 12 steps. At Jim's insistence, I had rewritten the steps again. They were not yet just like AA's, but they were getting there. The fourth page contained my subject for today. I knew I had to address the issue of the traditions, but how? I simply couldn't understand that word, tradition. What did that mean? What did that have to do with us? I understood that they were unifying principles for AA, so that's what I called them, the 12 unifying rules. And that was what was in that 4-page pamphlet that I wrote. I didn't bring it with me, but that's what it was, the steps and the 12 unifying rules. I was still struggling with the concept of God, so I took out the first half of AA's Tradition 2 about one ultimate authority. Our second unifying rule said simply, our leaders do not rule us. They are but trusted members who merely serve. And the third unifying rule stated, the only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop overeating and to effect a change in eating habits. Let me repeat that. The only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop overeating and to effect a change in eating habits. That was our first version of what was to become Tradition 3. You see, Joe and I, the first two members, were overweight, compulsive overeaters. We were forming an organization for people like us. That's why I was calling this fellowship Overeaters Anonymous. At that time, the alcoholics, the gamblers, and the narcotics addicts all had 12-step groups where they could identify with one another. There were no other 12-step groups then. Each fellowship knew that it could not be all things to all people, that mutual identification was the key to recovery, that it was important to keep the focus on their common compulsive behavior. Although the term eating disorders was not yet in anyone's vocabulary, we, Joe and I, would have felt that was too all-inclusive. We were fat. We were overeaters. We needed each other and others like ourselves. That was the reason OA was established. The response from Paul Coates' show was overwhelming to the seven of us. 500 letters. Many of those who responded were women who were very familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, my, they were definitely unhappy with our rewritten 12 steps and 12 unifying rules. And that's putting it mildly. During the following year, the grumblings became louder. And in February 1962, a meeting of secretaries from the six existing OA groups was held in Los Angeles to discuss the matter, and I represented our tiny General Service office. As a result of that meeting, the six secretaries voted to revise and strengthen our little four-page booklet and to rewrite our 12 steps and 12 unifying rules to conform to AA's steps and traditions, with the substitution of the phrase compulsive overeating for alcoholism wherever necessary. Since I had written all of OA's literature up to that point, that task was given to me. We also agreed to consider holding a true national Overeaters Anonymous conference to be held annually here in Los Angeles. During the next 3 months, I wrote something no one's ever seen. I pulled it out of my files, a 40-page adaptation of the first 163 pages of the AA Big Book. This was sent to AA's General Service Office in New York. I was very proud of it. Oh, of course, AA refused permission for publication. Gently and lovingly, they cited copyright violation and suggested we share their ideas in our own words. However, during the writing of that book, I began the task of bringing OA's 12 steps and 12 unifying rules into line with AA's steps and traditions. I remember so well that fateful night when our 12 unifying rules became our present-day 12 traditions. It was late at night, my usual writing time, still my usual writing time. Marvin, my husband, and my two little girls were asleep, and the house was quiet. As you know, my little dining room was the first OA National Service office. Sitting at my typewriter, I began typing, the only requirement for OA membership is, and then I stopped. There were only four possible ways to phrase the requirement: a desire to stop eating, a desire to stop overeating, a desire to stop eating compulsively, a desire to stop overeating compulsively. Well, a desire to stop eating didn't even make sense. We all need to eat to live, so that phrase was crossed out. A desire to stop overeating was better, but it didn't seem to address the compulsive nature of our disease. Then I typed the next two options over and over, trying them out, trying to find the right one. A desire to stop eating compulsively or a desire to stop overeating compulsively. Which was better? In the spring of 1962, I was a young woman, 33 years old, stubborn, self-willed, and a perfectionist. I said, life has taken care of all of that. I said to myself, to say overeating compulsively isn't good enough. We should never, never eat when we're angry or afraid or resentful, or indeed with any feeling at all. That's compulsive eating, and we can't do that. Of course, my definition of compulsive eating was far too rigid, but I didn't know that then. I was naive and inexperienced. I just didn't appreciate the subtle difference between overeating to stuff down feelings and eating appropriately at a mealtime, even though at that moment I might be angry or frightened or just plain rushed because I was late for an appointment. Eating a meal while feeling that way is not necessarily compulsive eating. But I couldn't see that. I wanted everything to be absolutely serene and perfect when I ate my meal. And I had two little babies. Besides, I was looking for the same black and white definition that our AA friends had. In addition, I didn't notice that I wasn't being consistent. Step 12 and Tradition 5 mentioned compulsive overeaters. All of our writings at that time talked about compulsive overeater and overeating. Tradition 3 should have used the same phrase. I sometimes think that our first version of Tradition 3 was the most accurate. The only requirement for OA membership is an honest desire to stop overeating and to effect a change in eating habits. While I would have removed the word honest, I'm sorry I didn't leave the rest of it alone. At the very least, I regret not having written, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating compulsively. As a result of my choice of words, we've had problems for 32 years. Fortunately, very early on, we've built safeguards into our bylaws. Changing any part of the steps or traditions requires a yes vote by 3/4 of the registered OA groups around the world. That long ago night, when I changed traditions and steps all alone, was the last time I would have that opportunity. Untroubled by committees and delegates, I made my own decisions. Never again in the history of OA would I get my way so easily. However, the 15 delegates at that first national conference in August 1962 discussed the steps and traditions very carefully. They made a few more changes, but Tradition 3 was left untouched. Then they voted, and the results were unanimous. The 12 steps and 12 traditions were adopted as the foundation of Overeaters Anonymous. Those are the steps and traditions which appear in our bylaws today, the same steps and traditions which you all hear read every day, every night, in more than 10,000 OA meetings in 50 countries around the globe. In English, Spanish, German, Portuguese, French, Hebrew, Italian, Greek, and other languages as well, for 32 years since the first conference, these 12 steps and 12 traditions have been the foundation of our individual recovery and of our fellowship as well. Let's all protect them, practice them in all our affairs, and cherish them as if our lives depended on them, because, of course, they do.